Constellation.
Welcome to Inner Bloom, a podcast about spirituality and intuitive empowerment where we help each other evolve and ascend through conscious community. I'm Alexa, a healer who utilizes EFT, also known as tapping, to help you process stuck emotions, release limiting beliefs, and reconnect with your inner child.
I'm Ambrosia, a psychic medium and Arcturian channel, here to uplift and inspire you to see that you are capable of more than you know.
Together, we empower people to live extraordinary lives.
We do want to warn you. If you hang out with us long enough, you'll start to believe in yourself and realize that you're capable of anything.
Enjoy the show. Hello, hello. Welcome back once again to Inner Bloom Podcast. I'm Alexa.
I'm Ambrosia. Hi, everybody.
Hello. I have no idea what day it is. Like, do you get that when there's like when there's like a holiday on the week? It's just like you don't know if you're like 3 days forward or 2 days behind. And I'm just like, I keep thinking today's Friday, but it's not. I don't know. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired, man.
Yeah, I get that. I was hoping today was Friday, but it is not. We have one more day.
Wait, last night we were doing coaching with Arc 9 and I was legitimately thinking I was awake but asleep just momentarily. I don't know what is going on, but energetically I am just you know what I think it might be actually? Are you guys experiencing this insane pollen wave down there right now?
No, not that I've noticed.
Such an insane pollen wave here right now that the air quality, you know how that your Apple app will tell you like the air quality is like this or bad or good or whatever. It's like, it's the worst it's ever been. Like it is terrible today. And then it shows you the radar and all you see is yellow, just yellow everywhere.
Wow. That's wild.
And it's like my son has just been sneezing nonstop. I've been like, so like my throat, it feels like I'm gonna itch it off. Like it's just, it's crazy. So maybe that's also making us all like tired too.
Definitely. You know what? I don't know if that's true, so I don't want to say that. But you know what I've been seeing the last 24 hours? Like
what?
Craziness. Like on TikTok and on a TV show that I watch. I know I watch TV, crazy. And different things is what? You know how I get like that pressure built up in my ears? I have for like years now.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing multiple people that are like, yeah, my ears fill up with pressure and I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was actually a block in my sinus cavity, which created a block in my ears, which led to hearing loss. And I'm like, oh my God. And they're like, yeah. Well, I mean, they're not like, so yeah, they're not talking to me. But they're like, I just took an antibiotic and I was fine. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to make an appointment with an ENT because I think that's a sign that I need to pay attention to. Are you laughing at what I said?
I'm just laughing because you're like, oh, because my God. And they're like, yeah, I know. But you weren't talking to them.
Like in my brain, that's how the conversation went. In reality, they did not talk back to me. I just want everyone to know that the TV was not talking to me.
That so relates to what we're talking about.
Actually. I know. That's why I was like, oh, I just want everybody to know like what's going down here.
Before we delve into this topic, I'm good.
I might not be. And if I'm not, please tell me like, cause I'm cool with that. Honestly, well,
some people definitely think you're not. I'm just going to tell That's you right true. Now. Some people no, will forever.
I'm more worried about you. I'm like, no, do you think I'm good? You are my grounding force. You and Mo are both my grounders. And so if you guys are like, that's when I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about.
No, I definitely think you're fine. I'm trying to think like, what was the most recent time that I – oh, you know what?
Timeline jumping.
The timeline jumping thing. You know what? I was thinking about that after this retreat, and I was like, she's been telling me that for, like, months and months. You've been saying, like, I really think I opened a portal. I really think I shifted timelines. I really think things are just a little off. Don't you feel that? And I'm like – I don't think I was like, no, you're crazy, but I think I was like – okay, well, like, things are always shifting. And, like, I didn't take it seriously. I thought you were just, like, thinking that. But it's, like, looking back, it's, like, the way you were saying that was the way that you say things when you're getting strong intuitive hits about something. So I should have taken it more seriously. Like, I don't know. I didn't.
That's right. As Sorry. Long as the minute – you just have to be very direct with me if you start to be concerned about my level of
– But I wasn't concerned.
Right, right. Okay. But I'm just saying, if you get concerned, just be very direct with me. Yeah. A spiritual slap in the face.
Cosmic bitch slap.
A metaphorical slap in the face.
Get it together.
You know
get
what I have been seeing today is movement out of the corner of my eye, which is like kind of annoying me at this point that I'm like, can we stop, please?
I've been seeing it since I got home from the retreat.
Have you?
A lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, yesterday I practiced giving a reading with my hands to Ooh. A friend. That being said, we were doing it amidst the most noise I've ever heard, like lawnmowers, like
you were pile driver.
Yeah, we were outside. There was dogs barking. Noisy. My baby was sitting right here. There was there was a lot going on. But I was kind of like disappointed because I didn't feel that I actually had a moment where I was like, oh my God, like I had a moment of convincing myself that I was
making not crazy. Up.
Yes, making it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I think that you were probably distracted. Also think that I've always had an appreciation for that psychic that is the taxi cab driver. And that does the mediumship and psychic work while he's doing that, because I'm always like, damn, I could never, because I'm too distracted with what's going on the road.
Yeah.
And like trying not to kill people. And it probably like helps him, like a meditative state.
That's what I was going to say. I actually think that's a good state to do readings in, because mm-hmm. you're like kind of focused on something else and you're loosely focused on. And so then it's easier for things to be apparent in your mind, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I think that state is a great place to do readings in. I am just not in that state when I'm driving. I'm in like more hyper aware of my surroundings most of the time.
Yeah, I drove with Ever in the car yesterday by myself for like the second time ever. And it was like a 45 mm-hmm. minute drive to go see my friend. And I was just so – I was trying so hard to like be chill, you know. And I did chill out. I got a little more comfortable. But the whole time it's like I don't know how you – it just must be you just get used to it over time. But it's just I constantly am like, oh my God, if I – it's that feeling of like if you make a wrong move and it's just you, okay, that would really suck and you don't want it to happen. But like if you make a wrong move and your kid is in the backseat, like you really, 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 really don't want that to happen. And so I think this is also why, even though I don't have a car because we live in the city and I kind of like that because I don't have to worry about it and I usually don't need one. And so I've gotten so much used to like my husband's driving. I like that. I don't want the responsibility of driving. I just don't want the responsibility. So yesterday was a bit like anxiety producing having my kid, my, you know, 8-month-old in the back seat for the first time. But I did really well. Pat myself on the back.
Good job.
Thanks. Okay. Let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
I'm letting you dive in.
Oh, okay. So
need the dive.
This has come in light of a few people that we know outside of the podcast, right? And for me, I'm not going to share details of this story, but for me, it's very sad to watch. And it's very sad to – I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it with, like, spiritual people that I've known. But like this kind of hits home for me in a deeper way. So essentially, I know someone who married, 2 kids, the whole thing, and literally snapped one day and told her kids she doesn't want to see them anymore, moved out of state, and is talking about how she's God and she is looking for her spirit. She found her spiritual soulmate, but he's not ready yet. And she just has to live this life until he's ready for her. And a lot of other things that if the other things weren't at play, it seems very like, okay, that checks out. Like, I talk about some weird shit. I talk to aliens. Cool. I can get behind this. But when you combine it with like the paranoia, the like everyone out to get you, when you combine it with all of the other things, it very much is a spiritual psychosis. It's very much a mental break or losing grip on this reality. And I Googled, which I don't like Googling things, but I Googled spiritual psychosis. And the definition is behaviors and thought patterns expressed during a spiritual emergencies and psychosis exemplifying a loss of rational thought. And I think that that, a loss of rational thought, that's the part that I really want to amplify, because I think with spirituality and different parts of spiritualness, I don't know, like talking to aliens, we're still human, we're still here, blah, blah, blah. Timeline jumping. Okay, but I'm in this reality. I'm in this timeline. So like, what do I want to manifest in this reality? Manifestation. We're still all having rational thought, right? And I think that when we talk about spiritual psychosis or the loss of really like who you are, that's when the paranoid thoughts come into play. That's when it's interesting because we all are God, yes, but that's when like the real disturbing thoughts happen, right? Of hurting yourself, hurting other people, or just exiling yourself from people that you love and care about completely, which in my friend's case is what's happening. And then some other things that I won't share have come to light that are just very uncharacteristic of this person. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad to watch. And there's almost, in the beginning of this, I felt really responsible because she came to me and told me that she was having a spiritual awakening, which many people have come to me and said that. And with her, I actually did not feel like it was a spiritual awakening. And I encouraged her to seek help. Go to a therapist, go check yourself in somewhere. Like, you are losing grip of where you are. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, but I think it's really important to talk about it now. What mm-hmm. are your thoughts?
On spiritual psychosis?
Yeah, on what we're talking about.
The first thing that actually comes to something I wanted to ask was, what do you think the difference is between regular psychosis and spiritual psychosis? It's just attributing it to having a spiritual awakening?
Yeah. So I think, and this is a really good question too. So also I want to say that I am not a licensed therapist. This is our very limited idea and understanding of what we know. Okay. Inner Bloom is not responsible for this. But what I do want to say is, I dove pretty deeply into schizophrenia, in particular schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, because I've been afraid that I've had schizophrenia because my mother like really ingrained that in me that I might have it. I've been checked out and cleared. And if you have schizophrenia, that's okay too. But I don't, I've never been diagnosed with schizophrenia. I am diagnosed with bipolar depressant disorder. So I do have episodes of mania, but my mania looks like a normal happy person's mania, which is sad. Anyway, that's not the point. So schizophrenia is seeing images and particularly images or faces and hearing voices that communicate with you. So how that's different than maybe seeing your spirit guides or seeing dead people or things like that. These images or voices are going to tell you to do things. They're going to isolate you from other people. So they're going to start to tell you that like people around you, you can't trust, or you can't trust yourself, or they're usually not nice or pleasant thoughts. Now, sometimes they can start off that way. But the way that when I've talked to people with schizophrenia, the way that it's described is they're like your air quote best friends, but they're just in your head. And that right there is really amplifying how real and visceral this is for people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you communicate with spirit, when you communicate with dead people, it's usually, and I don't want to say all the time, but it is usually not that real. It is usually more like, am I making this up? Is this real? Things, that feeling of like a whisper, like I said, mm-hmm. schizophrenia or any kind of mania is more very visceral, very real, and very in your face. And there is a lot of fear-based imagery and talk around it. Mm-hmm. Is that a good description, you think?
I think. I don't know the formal description, or I don't know as much about it. And I mean, I actually do have someone extremely close to me that was diagnosed with schizophrenia as a result of prolonged substance abuse, which I have actually asked. And I'm like, so like, did you always, was it basically like schizophrenia was in your genetic, like epigenetics, right? Like certain genes can be turned on and off. So it's like, okay, so schizophrenia had the potential to play out if triggered correctly, like essentially in your genetic makeup. And she was like, yeah, that's what I understand. I was like, okay. So
schizophrenia actually shows up when you're older. So it actually shows up 24 to early 30s. So it's interesting because a lot of mental health disorders show up in your teens, late teens, and schizophrenia shows up slightly later than that. Typically, not all the time, but typically.
Okay. Weird. Why do you think that is?
I don't know why that is. I'm sure that I could look it up and do research on it, but I also don't like to go down. I don't like to go down that rabbit hole, just like I don't like to go down the rabbit hole of tics, because it is something that I'm afraid of. And so I don't want to amplify that fear. Does that make sense? Well,
it does. It does. And so what's interesting about this person that I'm talking about, though, is that when they were very little, they were one of the people that they were scared to go to bed at night. They were very, very, very sensitive. And they have found ways when they were younger to like disassociate in all kinds of ways because of how sensitive they were. They would always like, they have similar stories to a lot of people in our community of like, oh, I would always see like a girl sitting on the stairs, or like they,
right.
I'm convinced, I know this person very well, and I'm convinced, and I feel it intuitively, that they are very intuitive, and they always have been, and they've always been very just energetically sensitive. And they found ways throughout their life to disassociate because it was too much. Like, it was just way too much. And eventually that led them to a place where they were using substances that were probably just opening them up even more, even more, even more. And it eventually led to this schizophrenia diagnosis. And now they're on the mend, and they're they've really done the work to get back, like to get healthy and to get sober. However, they still do hear the voices, and it's they have to be medicated for it. And so it was interesting because I was thinking about this person who is telling me about their experience with the voices both then and now. It made me think about, I've talked on this podcast before about my neighbor who lives down the hallway. I live in a condo building, so she lives on the other side of the hall. And she was a brilliant professor, actually, at like Penn University. It's a really prestigious school here. And she's brilliant. And once again, that line between genius and like insanity, I think it can be very thin sometimes. And she eventually just started going crazy. I don't really know the full story. I don't know if something happened that like triggered that. I don't know. But she seems normal a lot of times. She seems
Let's just for the sake of this, I'm going to stop you because I love you. Let's not use normal and crazy.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. 1,000%. She can seem completely sane. What word do I use? I don't want to dig myself deeper here. What word do I use?
I would say, from what you've described her, she is paranoid or not paranoid.
Yes.
That's how I would describe her.
Okay. So she can seem not paranoid, kind of more just like a Karen, like somebody who gets really upset at things and complains about people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then very quickly she can start to go into delusion and like,
mm-hmm.
like it's, I don't know what she's officially been diagnosed with, but I think it's paranoid schizophrenic, where she will start to accuse everyone like who lives in our building of like being in on this huge conspiracy that like we've killed her son. Her son's alive, by the way. And all of this stuff. And anyway, she at one point started focusing on me and saying that I was a lawyer who kills people. Okay. And that, like I've destroyed her whole life and all of this. So, and all I've ever been is nice to her, but she has this in her mind. And so, what's weird though, is that she knows things, like psychically, she knows things, meaning she lives all the way at the other end of the hall. It's a very long hall. And I will like go into my apartment and I will be there for hours and I will have seen her on the way up, right? I will have mm-hmm. seen her, bumped into her or something. And I'm like, well, don't want to deal with her today. So I'm not going right. outside.
Right.
So I will stay in my apartment basically until I cannot anymore. And that will be, I'm talking like 6 hours later. 6 hours later, I will open my door and she will be at her door staring at my door as if she has just come out. And it's weird because I'll even hear her door open. Like I'll hear it open as my door opens. It's very strange. But what I'm saying is that whether somebody is in this reality or not, whether they're in some sort of alternate reality or distorted reality, I do think that you could argue that there is some sort of information that they're receiving similarly mm-hmm. to how we receive intuitive information by being tapped in to our intuition or our higher consciousness or our just our sensitivity. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but in right. what I've observed from mm-hmm. a couple people around me, it feels as if the voices in this particular instance are sharing information. And that's really interesting because it's like, so does that mean that they're perceiving different dimensions, they're perceiving different realities? What is mental illness? You know what I mean? Like, what is mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I mean, I think that if we're looking at strictly scientific approaches to mental illness, I don't think we have enough information yet. Right.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of us, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I think a lot of us have to remember that I know people's parents, someone in particular, she's a little older than me, but nonetheless, her mother was one of the last people that received a lobotomy in an institution. Now, I saw this YouTube video yesterday with this guy, and he was talking, and he's like, we don't institutionalize people anymore, blah, 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 blah. And that's true. We don't put people in straitjackets and we don't institutionalize them against their will unless it's a really serious situation. However, the generation that happened to is still alive. Mm-hmm. And so there is such a stigma with mental health, especially with that generation, that I think really needs to be addressed and really needs a little bit of empathy for. You know, because there was no, during the Great Depression, there was no mental health. Mm-hmm. There was no, let's talk about our feelings. It was survive, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is the person that you're talking about. That's the age demographic that this person is in, actually. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that we just don't have enough information on mental health to really say like, okay, well, you're losing grip with this reality, but maybe you're tapping into a different reality, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that, and I've said this before, I have no news stories, guys, but I've said this on the podcast before that there was this study done. It was in, I forget which country now, but it was in a different country. I think Germany, I don't remember. And the scientist was trying to, I guess, they were twin autistic savants, and they were savants with math. And what the female scientist discovered was that the savants were actually telepathic, and they were actually communicating. They were reading her thoughts, and they could not only communicate in speaking the native language, German, but they could also communicate in speaking her native language, which is a different language than the children spoke. So I think that is fascinating. And, you know, more studies are showing that nonverbal autistic children might be telepathic, and that's actually how they're communicating with their caregivers, which is positive and negative. But I think that that's fascinating. So are they so tapped in to a different reality that they can't communicate in this reality, right? Mm-hmm. Like verbally, or are they overstimulated in this reality to the point to where they shut down some of their senses? Because if you could hear everybody else's thoughts all of the time, I don't know, A, how much I would communicate, and B, what other senses would have to turn off just to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's what'd you say?
I said absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting, but it goes back to this idea of I feel like it goes back to this idea of which reality is someone in, and how do they communicate what they're seeing, hearing, feeling, you know?
Yeah. Because like, imagine if you, for whatever reason, can see two dimensions at once, like an alternate reality at the same, over top of, or it's just changing back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, I would not, I barely know what to do with one. Like, it's a lot. So, and that's the thing. Like, for example, the woman in my building, everyone in this building has a great deal of empathy for her. Everyone in the building knows that this is like, we feel bad, even though we're the ones being like harassed constantly. Everyone wants her to be safe and protected. And, you know, the way that she's, what she engages in, it does not lead to harmonious things. It leads to potentially dangerous things for her. And so, you know, it's like, because on one side, what I want to say is like, okay, so let someone be in whatever reality they want to be in. But at the other hand, it's like, but if you're not in this reality, you're going to make decisions and you're going to do things that are not necessarily in alignment with your inner harmony or your highest good, or and the problem is we really don't have solutions right now. We don't have good enough solutions right now, in my opinion, for people dealing with this. Like, we don't have good enough programs or care plans, or
100%.
It's very sad, because when this first was starting to happen, I felt very scared, like, because she was like harassing me and telling me I was like murdering her children and stuff, and I was just like, oh my god, like, and she was scaring me.
And I want to say, just to defend you really quick, from the stories that Alexa has told, it's not like this woman has quietly said this to her under her breath. She makes a big scene in the building. She starts to scream and yell, and I think she's like touched you one time,
like, and she'll like stalk you, kind of.
It's scary. It would be scary for anybody.
And there's nothing that's the other thing is, like, there's nothing that I can do. I feel threatened, right? But there's really nothing that I can do, because she's never physically – if she were to physically assault me, I could technically have more leverage to do something. That being said, it's like, what is even going to happen if I were to do something? It was like maybe a charge would be brought against her, but she doesn't even really care. You know what I mean? And she's – it's just that – I think of, and you're going to Europe this summer, Ambie, and I'm so excited about it because I feel like this will give you really great like insight and perspective into the different ways the countries are when you're walking through them and you're experiencing them, because different countries, especially in Europe, they really have a way, a whole different perspective on, at least when I was studying abroad in Amsterdam, they took care of the people on the street. That was built into the government, that was built into the way that they're social policy worked, because they understood if we don't take care of our sick and if we don't take care of our drug addicted,
yeah,
they will be on the street causing harm. Let's build it in that we care for them. And, you know, they have the lowest murder rate, the lowest crime rate, the lowest, like anything that we deal with here, the lowest rate of that in Holland, where I was studying abroad. Anyway, but that being said, I guess it just really is a very interesting kind of question of like, so say you're somebody who's experiencing something like a spiritual psychosis. Mm-hmm. What are you to do?
Well, I was going to say really quick that going back to like the homeless population in America and things like that, and again, I know that some people have called them unhoused people, and that's fine. You can call them whatever you want. I was a homeless child, literally homeless. So I'm going to use homeless, but, and not all homeless people are like that, but, I will say that there were a lot more opportunities and a lot more, mental health clinics for people that experienced homelessness or experienced what we're speaking about in different ways and had no alternatives. And in, I had to Google it, but in Ronald Reagan's presidency, he's the one that really got rid of a lot of those mental health clinics. And that's when the increase in the homeless population kind of surged. And then also the mental health really kind of declined because there was no help for them. There was no place that they could go. And now we have homeless people that it's a completely different situation. We're seeing a separation between the classes and it's really affecting the lower income class. But I digress. That's not the point. The point here is that it's truly unfortunate because we haven't worked with any like government agencies or any kind of help for American citizens in order to get free mental health, right? What we're seeing, what I'm personally seeing now, I give a lot of readings to therapists, a lot of readings. Mm-hmm. And the common theme that I hear from therapists or, counselors, social workers, is there's so much red tape that and hoops that they have to jump through in order to take insurance and in order to be paid through insurance companies that it's a lot of them are like, it's not worth it anymore. And then you have coaches on the rise, which I am a life coach and I have a few certifications, but you have coaches on the rise that are getting paid a lot of money, more money, sometimes more money than therapists who are trying to help people and who have gone to school and have master's degree and in many cases PhDs, that it's an imbalance that's happening here, right? And so I'm excited and hopeful to see where the shift goes in mental health, but I think it's being addressed in such a big way right now that it hasn't been in years past because I think we have more information about it. And I do want to say really quick, this is my little disclaimer, that if you decide to work with a coach, be very aware of A, what you're going to work on with that person. What are you going to achieve with that person? What goal are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Also B, how long have they been working with other people? And is it for that same reason? So inner child work is one of those things that I will only work with certain people on, depending upon your level of trauma and your level of self-awareness. if you have a high level of trauma like I do, it is best that you probably go to a licensed professional, because what can happen, and I've seen this happen, is someone can be working with you on inner child work. This is just an example. And you go over a traumatic event, and instead of changing that timeline and altering that timeline to empower you, it re-triggers you and re-traumatizes you all over again. And that can trip you up into not a psychosis, but definitely a mania, and definitely like losing grip on this reality and going into that paranoid state.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a good time also to bring up, like, you can mix modalities, you know what I mean? Like, yes, you can take from East and the West. Just because mm-hmm. you work with a licensed therapist doesn't mean that you're not, that you are saying the Eastern practices and modalities don't work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you mm-hmm. can do both. I think there's this, we've talked about this so many times, but I think it's worth bringing up again, because I've been having a lot of conversations with people about this recently, is like this feeling like it has to be all this or all that. And it's like, mm-hmm. that's the coolest part. One of the coolest things about this time we're living in now is you can pick a la carte, you can pick and choose, you know, you can have a little yeah. bit of this and a little bit of that. You can have both. And I think that there's no shame in going back to something that is very structured and very traditional, and then adding on to that if there are additional things that can be helpful or useful. You know, I actually myself have been thinking about going back to like traditional therapy in the near future, just because I actually don't know why. My intuition has just been telling me that. So
yeah, I'm in therapy. So I'm one of those people that I have a coach and I'm in therapy. I've been doing inner child work for a lot of years. I don't even want to talk about it at this point, but I've been,
and you probably I've always been, will be.
I probably always will be.
Yeah.
But I have a coach and a therapist. And again, it's the spiritual component and the grounding element. So it's the, like, my therapist that I work with has to know, just a rule of thumb for everybody, they have to know my morals, my values, right? So my values are very spiritual based and things like that. And if you don't agree with that off the jump, then we should not work together, because you're going to think that everything I say is a little woo woo and out there, right? You're not right. going to be able to see me as a person. So I think that that's also really important, whether it's a coach or a therapist or both, to have someone that aligns with that value that you have and those views that you have as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the one thing that keeps kind of coming to me recently is like, because I don't know about you, and I know we have to go in a minute, but I was always that kid who, like, I had to know it all. I had to be I always wanted to have all the right answers, and I wanted to – and as growing up, I still – that's, like, my biggest practice right now is, like, I can feel myself going, oh, let me give you that information. You don't even have to – you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't catch it every time, but I've been catching it more, where I catch myself and I just go – pull back. What would happen if you don't need to put it out there? And then the next step of that is saying that quote, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's like when you're young, you think you know everything, but you really don't know anything. And then the older you get, the more you realize, oh shit, I thought I knew about that, but I guess I really don't. And I guess now that we're talking about it, I actually like your ego says, oh, I already know that. And mm-hmm. your spirit, your soul says, oh, there's so much to learn, right? And that's okay. Yeah. It's not threatening. It's not – the ego says, that's a threat to my ego. The soul goes, that's okay. I have so much to learn. Maybe I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going along with this all or nothing kind of – idea that we're talking about, or being able to kind of combine a lot of different things. I think it falls into the same category of like be open to the fact that, like, maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know, and there is value in things that you thought you knew about, but maybe you don't know. And I think now more than ever, as we're moving into this time of, like, great, so many questions and also so many potential new solutions, I think it's important, because what I see is, like, there's this big gap right now in a lot of industries and a lot of fields, like our healthcare system, our work situations, mental health, relationships. There's so many things that are kind of wobbling around and kind of creating a void. And we get to create collectively what goes there, right? And so this is not a time for, like, that all or nothing, or like, oh, I already know about that, so I'm not even going to be open to that type of perspective. This is a time of, like, maybe I don't know. Maybe I didn't know. And that's okay. We don't have to know.
Or maybe you did know and it has shifted into something you don't know now, you know?
Totally.
So that, because I used to have a really negative view on therapy, on talk therapy. And you, to a degree, I think that my experiences have validated that, but also it doesn't mean that all talk therapy is bad. It doesn't mean talk therapy is for everybody, but I also think that I used to do this way too much, is that I would go on medication for my bipolar disorder. And then when I was feeling good, I'd stop taking it and I'd be like, well, I don't need this anymore. And it was like, no, bitch, you do. Actually, you're having a manic episode and you feel fine. And that is what is going on. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing now, just to, I don't know why I'm talking about it, but what I'm doing now is monitoring it with coaching and therapy. I'm taking more of a natural approach where I'm taking natural supplements to help with stress and to help with mood stabilizing. Because I've had a lot of really negative side effects with the different, it was like, what, last year? I don't remember, but I was on like a crazy amount of new medicine. But anyway, and I think that in the future, if I decide to go back on meds and there's a new medication that comes out that helps with the fluctuation of my mood, then I will be open to that. But yeah, I think what worked for you, what didn't work for you before might work for you now. It's good to be open to different things like that. And also it's really important to see you're a new person in every moment. So how does this new person become changed and affected by different things like talk therapy, like coaching, like medication, things like that. I've actually, I don't know if you have, but I've actually worked with coaching clients and I've actually told them, like, I'm not going to work with you unless you have a therapist, unless you meet with them regularly, and unless you're on medication.
I haven't been doing one-on-one coaching really lately, so no, but that's a good rule of thumb. I mean, if they need it.
If they need it. Yeah, it's not everybody. Well, I mean, this, so obviously I have a rule that, like, I'm not going to work with anybody that causes self-harm. And that's kind of where that went. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's, but even then I don't feel comfortable because, you know, it's not in my scope of practice.
Yeah. You don't feel like fully equipped.
Oh no. I'm
Which
not
I
fully
don't
equipped
either.
I am not fully equipped. I am fully, I do feel comfortable helping people with inner child work. Yeah. I feel very comfortable helping people with spiritual things. I feel very comfortable helping people with sexuality things, grief counseling, things like that. I do not feel comfortable with trauma therapy. And I know other coaches that do. Like, that's just something that, and I feel like that's why you have to feel connected and understand why you're doing this. What about, like, my therapist, I don't just go to her to chat with her. I have specific things I want to work on. I want to work on my disorganization. I want to work on Why do I always feel like there has to be something exciting going on? You know what I mean? These are personality traits, but I want to change them. So let's talk about how I can change them too. And then also I need that grounding element of when I do go into a manic episode and I want to buy a fucking motorcycle, that's not a good idea because you don't know how to ride a motorcycle, bitch. So it's... It's those types of things. I had a week where I was like, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. I'm going to do it. And then my therapist was like, is it possible that you are manic? And I was like, yes, that is what is happening right now. Possibility. Okay, cool.
Just put a motorcycle in your shopping cart and wait a week and see if you still want that motorcycle.
Yeah. Later. Give it like a month. And then if you still want it, cool.
Yeah. That's so funny. I love that. Thanks for sharing all that, by the way. I think that was really helpful. Yeah. And sorry, I forgot. Can we do the intuitive news really quick?
Yeah, of course. Sure. Why not?
Okay. So the first story is Brian Koberger. Remember him? Let me back up. For those who don't know, the intuitive news is a segment that we do once a week where I tell Ambi some of the news headlines and she feels into them intuitively. Okay.
And so, I don't know the news headlines. I specifically stay out of it.
Yes. So Brian Koberger was the one who was charged he's been arrested on suspicion of being the murderer of the four Idaho college kids.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay. So
I see a thumbs up. I don't know what you're going to ask me, but I see a
yes. Is he going to be charged? His trial's about to start.
Yeah, I hope he is. Yeah.
Well,
I'm pretty sure he did it.
Now, let me ask you something, because another psychic, his name's Aunt Aphrodite. I have to get on this podcast. He would be perfect for this podcast. He does tarot readings on pop culture, and he did a reading on this. He's done a couple, but he did one recently. And he was like, why do I feel like he thinks he's been working with someone, but I don't think they exist. Like, I think he has, a psychological – he thinks that – it's like Fight Club. Have you seen Fight Club?
Yeah.
You know how the whole time you think – sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie,
It's 30 years old if you haven't seen the movie.
Really good movie. But, yeah, the whole time he thinks that – Edward Norton thinks that Brad Pitt is, a guy he meets who's, helping him do whatever. But then he realizes in the end that – it was him the whole time. It was just a personality disorder type of thing.
That is speaking of psychosis. That's one of my fears. That and The Beautiful Mind.
So do you think that is a possibility?
I did feel like there was someone that was working with him, but I thought it was his dad. So do I think that that's a possibility? I think it's a real possibility. Yeah. Because he feels very not tethered in this reality, very untethered, very just kind of floating around in space, if that makes sense.
Do you think he really thinks he didn't do it? Or do you think he knows he did it?
That's hard. That's a hard one to feel into. Because I keep seeing him stalking her. So is it possible that he thinks he didn't do it? Sure. Anything's possible. But does that... No, I keep hearing paranoia. I think it's delusion. I think that he did do it. And I feel like... I feel like he's probably aware that he did do it on some level.
Okay. But he thinks maybe he thinks that someone else did it with him.
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. Not cool. But the trial is coming up in June, so that'll be really interesting to see play out. The other thing is okay, we're switching topics, but the debt ceiling. It's come up before. It's coming up again. Basically, this threat of surpassing the debt ceiling, the government, they have to come to some agreement. Otherwise, we will exceed the debt ceiling, and that will cause mass issues in the country. Are we going to resolve it, or are we going to we're not going to resolve
it. It doesn't feel like we're going to resolve it. No, not
and what's
soon.
What's going to be the result of that?
I think the economy is going to get worse. Actually, this makes a lot of sense for me because I saw that there was the economy was going to take like a big tank. We're talking like a big tank. I'm not trying to scare people, but
like
I'm
stock
not saying
market
go
crash.
Yeah, but I'm not saying go stock up on supplies. Like that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that maybe it's time to save some money mm-hmm. in case, you know, you need it. Mm-hmm. But I do see something like that. And actually when the economy went down, I was like, okay, like let's prepare. This is what's going to happen. And then it came back up a little bit and I was shocked that it wasn't as bad as I thought, but that makes sense that it just hasn't like.
That wasn't like really dipped. It.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've been feeling that too, that like something more is coming. Okay. And I think I forgot my last one, but that's okay. Yeah. I should have written it down, but I didn't because I'm just, you know.
Wait.
Okay, sorry. Can we do a Taylor Swift check-in?
Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I'm scared. Swifties are serious, and I love you guys. Please don't come for me.
What's can you do a check-in on Taylor and Maddie Healy? Their relationship.
I just want to say shout out to the person that booked a full reading, a private reading with me to ask me this question. You know who you are. I love you deeply. And it was a great idea.
We should do an intuitive
reading.
Investigation into Taylor Swift. Could you imagine?
Okay. I'm scared. Okay. What is the question? Her and her
boyfriend? What's the deal with
boyfriend?
Her and Maddie? Yeah. What's their relationship? What's going on with
deal?
That?
You know, when I felt into this for the private reading, it felt like I honestly felt a little, this is fucked up to say, but I'm going to say it. It felt a little comforting to know, well, if Taylor Swift can like not see her value and date a piece of shit, like there's hope for the rest of us. That's kind of how I felt.
Wait, there's hope for the rest of us to what?
Well, there's hope for the rest of us to like, what I mean by that is like, I think we've all dated someone that we're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're just you go through these emotions of like embarrassment and like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And like all of these emotions. But if Taylor Swift is doing that, then it kind of normalizes this thought of like, you don't really know how amazing you are until you see yourself through someone else's eyes.
By the way, the most recent thing that happened was Maddie Healy wore this t-shirt of a podcast of people he's friends with that hosts this podcast that literally have like bullied Taylor Swift before and called her mom Miss Piggy. Like what the fuck is going on? Literally.
I got to see this man. Hold on. I want to see a picture of him. I'm going to Google it. We've got time, everybody. Just
okay.
Relax.
While you Google him, I'm going to get my son real quick.
Maddie Healy. Is it M-A-T-T? I would imagine. Not Maddie. Maddie Healy. Healy. Here we go. He's a songwriter. Okay. No. I didn't know it was this bad. He is not attractive. Oh my God. What are we doing, Taylor? What are we doing, T-Swift? What's happening here? Okay. That's fine. This is who you've chosen. All right. Alexa's coming back. She's walking back over if you're listening to the podcast.
I love you.
Okay. Oh. This is sad. I didn't know what he looked like. My big man. I didn't know what he looked like. And no
shocked?
Offense to ugly people. But wow, it's bad.
That's bad.
What I get canceled for. 100%. Anyway, it's fine. What was the question?
What's
I don't
the
even
deal
know
with
the
their
question
relationship?
I'm
is
so
it
shocked
still,
by what this man looks like.
Is their relationship anything new to report in the relationship? Does she still feel strongly about it? Because like the backlash has not stopped. So I'm just curious.
I just cannot. even fathom what is happening at
like
this
literally like that is the definition of no self-respect. I'm sorry, Swifties, but like he just continues to like support people that have like destroyed her and her mom.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It makes no sense.
It doesn't. Feels like something else must be going on, because why would this be happening?
Yeah.
But do you feel like she just like really like she just likes the toxicity or like what?
Well, I feel like it's a combination of a couple things. And I felt like this, I feel like this again, but I felt like this for a while. I feel like there's this feeling of you don't know him the way I know him.
Okay.
Which, that's true. Taylor, I don't know how true that is. Because right. I feel like we all have a pretty good understanding of what's happening.
Right.
But it's what I'm seeing, what it feels like, I hope to God I'm wrong. I've never wanted to be wrong so badly. What I'm seeing is like this Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly situation.
Just toxic.
Just toxic, not great for each other.
Like, oh maybe my God, they under have a spiritual psychosis in a way of like, we're star-crossed, like we're, because they're both very, it's like they're both songwriters who like wear their heart on the, like they love writing about like unrequited love and like toxic relationships or whatever. They love, they're so artsy, both of them. And mm-hmm. I feel like that is like a connection point for them where they feel like, because I think they like kind of hooked up in the past, but then like it was very brief and like they wanted it to be more, but like other things were at play and they kind of went off on their own world. So now they're coming back together. And I feel like mm-hmm. they think it's like star-crossed or something. It's like, oh, this was always meant
to be. And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the other thing with this, that you might have a soul connection with someone. And I'm not saying that they don't. They might. But if your relationship is so unhealthy and toxic, it does not fucking matter if you have a soul connection with this yeah. person. Let me be super clear. Like, that actually irks me more than anything else, is like people that get into, that stay in relationships that are just so bad for them and unhealthy. And they're like, well, we're soulmates. Who fucking cares? Right? If you're soulmates yeah. and you're, life is miserable because of this person, or your life is awful because of this person, then it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. That's my two cents.
Yeah. I agree. So that's what it is.
That's what it feels like to me.
And it's also like a get back at Joe, or Joe doesn't factor in. She don't care.
I mean, I think that that's how it started, but I don't think that's what it is now.
Okay. Wow. Well, very interesting. Very interesting. I think this also goes into the fact that we don't see celebrities as human. We think that they're infallible, especially someone like Taylor Swift. We think, oh, she's such an incredible artist that she's also such an incredible judge of character, person, kind heart. Like, you know what I mean? And she might. Right. She's a person. She's a person, but it seems like she's larger than life and it seems like she's perfect in all these ways. But like at the end of the day, she's just a person. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think it's another. Yeah.
I also think that and I, hey, you know what? I love Taylor Swift. I think she's great. Okay. To all the Swifties listening, again, please don't come for me. I think that she's great. I do want to say that maybe her taste in men has not been the greatest, because
yeah, no.
If we look at people that she has written songs about, they're kind of shitheads.
Yeah, right? So maybe like, she picks them on a subconscious level because she knows they're shitheads and will give her amazing art. Anyone ever?
I mean, that could be that. Absolutely, like there's some benefit. Excuse me. There's some benefit to like what is happening, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely, that could be the benefit subconsciously. I don't know, but She's picking them for a reason. She could have anybody she wants. She could literally pick somebody out of a crowd and be like, you're mine now. We're dating. And they would be like, cool. Yeah, that sounds good. We're doing it.
That would be funny.
Wouldn't it be? I mean, she's like also crazy tall. So yeah. I think with tall women, and this has just been my observation.
Yeah.
With tall women, a lot of the times they intimidate men. And so what they'll do is make themselves physically smaller or emotionally, spiritually smaller to try to not demasculate men. But yeah. I say, fuck that. Make yourself taller. Demasculate the fuck out of them, and the right man won't feel
emasculated.
Emasculated. Thank you. Emasculated or intimidated by that.
I agree, and I actually think that is exactly what was happening in her last relationship. Was like that she felt like he wasn't into the whole fame thing, even though he's an actor too. But he just like wants to live a low key life, and she does not live a low key life. So it was like she was constantly trying. That's why we didn't see her for the whole span of the relationship, because like they were. I feel like she was constantly trying to make herself smaller and like, oh, this fame thing isn't a big deal. It's just a job. It's just a thing that I go do sometimes and then I come back and be with you, you know?
That's ridiculous.
Now that she's out of it, it's almost like catapulting to the other side where it's like, oh, fuck you. I'm going to like throw my fame. Like I'm getting back to the old me. Like this is like, I'm going to put my fame everywhere. And that's why this relationship brings a lot of that. You know what I mean? So it's another mm-hmm. reason it might be so attractive. Anyway,
also yeah. I want to say emasculating, not the first word I said, my bad people, but I do want to say in March 2016, Healy said it would have been emasculating to date Swift. She wasn't a big impact on my life. It's just interesting to me why the whole world is obsessed with Taylor Swift.
This is what I'm saying. It's crazy. He's crazy. It doesn't make any sense, like you said.
Makes no sense.
That being said, guys, make sure if you're not already that you sign up to be one of our Patreons. You can sign up for as low as $5 and get access to so much bonus content. We just did an intuitive investigation on 2012. Did the world end in 2012 and we shifted into another universe? Plot twist, we did. Or spoiler, we did. if you want to hear all the details of that, go check out the intuitive investigation replay from yesterday. We also are gearing up to do a new celebrity spirit interview and combos with Arc9, all that stuff. So make sure you get in there and you vote for who you want us to interview. Anything else, Ambie?
Nope, I think that's it.
We love you so much. Thank you for listening. And until next time.
Keep on blooming.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to get in touch for a reading with Ambie, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at innerbloompodcast.